Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. Welcome to the Tempcast episode 29. Today, we are joined by GBA Temp's official public defender, Eric Zander. And this man is a legal attorney, right? He's a lawyer or whatever, which means that if you're in any legal issues whatsoever, then you can contact him directly through GBA Temp, and he will offer his services as a legal lawyer or whatever completely for free if you are a member of the GBA Temp community. Is that right, Eric Zander?
Oh, wait, sorry. Did you say something? Oh, sorry. I was busy billing clients. I wasn't paying attention. Whatever this guy says, $200 an hour is what I normally charge. So, okay, cool. What are we doing? Steven here?
No. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Steven?
How's it going, everyone?
Okay, I'm done. All right, we can start the Tempcast now. Hey, what's going on, guys?
Thank you, Eric Zander and Steven Rolabi, for joining me today on this beautiful episode number 29, this is. And we have so many topics to talk about this week because a lot of things happened this week. Coronavirus stuff happened, I think. Vaccines.
Oh, yeah, that's, yeah.
Is that still happening? Is that still going on?
Mm-hmm. They vaccinated Mario.
Oh, vaccines? Yeah. People are indeed still getting vaccinated. They haven't stopped doing that yet.
Yeah, but let's not talk about that stuff because you know what you came here for. You're here for the gaming news, you know, the scoop, stuff that wasn't talked about at all this week on GBA Temp, because here on this podcast, we only deliver the biggest news, biggest scoops.
This is all OC, original content.
Do not steal. The first thing we're going to be talking about is the leaked Elden Ring trailer, which has leaked online, surprisingly. From what I've seen, 4 clips have leaked in total so far, and you can watch them on YouTube. There's a link to that video on Chari's post, I think, on gbatemp.net, so check that out. I've watched that trailer a couple of times already. And before I get into my opinions, I know you guys are really big Dark Souls fans. So let's start with Steven, the biggest Dark Souls fan. What did you think about this leaked footage?
I think Alan John's confused me with someone else because he's certainly never made a mistake like this before, but I'm not a huge FromSoft fan. But this actually does look kind of interesting because it's all their games are very, very, very combat-centric, and there's been tweaks in the way the combat works between all the Dark Souls and Demon Souls games and Sekiro and Bloodborne. But this one actually is going, it seems to be doing a lot of different things. There's some short platforming segments. It has kind of a more open world feel. And I don't really know how to feel about that exactly. It feels like drawing focus away from the combat is not a great sign, but it could be interesting to see if FromSoft can do other stuff as well as they master the combat. But, you know, it might be a jack of all trades, master of none kind of thing.
Yeah, I think I'll probably go ahead and agree with what Steven said. So I've only actually played Bloodborne, I've platinumed it, and I played Dark Souls on PC a while ago. Those are the only two that I've played, and I enjoyed them greatly. I didn't think they were particularly hard. That's just a little humble brag myself. Yeah, but seriously, actually, that's just because I really
exerted yourself,
powered myself. Yeah, I was just like, hey, you know what? If I just train really hard, I'll just be able to hit them really hard, and I don't have to have any strategy. It's those kind of things. I do like the way that those games are played. I love the combat. It's not easy combat. It's fun. And yeah, I saw just from, you know, I was actually watching the trailer as Steven was talking, and I was busy ignoring him. And yeah, the platforming looks interesting because it's sort of not what they've done before. And then riding on the horses, doing that platforming, I got a little bit of, for lack of a better comparison, Assassin's Creed-ish. You know, that might just be my lack of gaming knowledge in general telling me to say Assassin's Creed. But yeah, I thought that it looks good. So, you know, I have high hopes for it.
Big news. I'm the biggest Dark Souls fan, actually, on the podcast. Yeah, that's the twist. Because I've just recently, like in the past 2 years, I've got into Dark Souls like heavily. Like the only two FromSoft games I have played, Demon's Souls and Bloodborne, because those are Sony exclusives and I'm a PC Master Race kind of guy. So I played Dark Souls 1, 2, 3, Sekiro Shadows Die twice. And I love those games. Those games are really, really good, even Dark Souls 2. So watching this trailer, I was not surprised to say, but I'm happy that they are basically making Dark Souls 4, which is what it looks like. Because Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, that's a big departure from software in terms of its gameplay. It doesn't play like any Dark Souls game at all. The only gameplay elements that it has in common with the Souls series is the saving mechanics and very difficult boss fights. But that's the only thing in common. It doesn't look or play like any Souls game. Maybe a little bit like Bloodborne, because I've heard that game has a lot of emphasis on fast combat.
It did. Not very much on platforming, but yeah, the combat was much, much faster than in Dark Souls.
Yeah, so maybe it has something in common with that. Those were developed relatively closely, I think. Actually, no. Bloodborne, then Dark Souls 3, then Sekiro, I think. But, however,
yeah,
watching this trailer, I enjoyed it. Like, a lot of people are criticizing this, saying, oh, this looks just like an asset rip from Dark Souls 3. Like, these weapons, this armor looks the same. Like, all the assets look the same. And I'm like, I don't care. I just want a new Dark Souls game. And the issue with that is that Dark Souls 3 was a very good end to the series. Lore-wise, plot-wise, whatever. It finished like that series. You can't do anything past that, past the Ringed City DLC. It wouldn't make sense, because it pretty much ends on a final grandiose, not a grandiose note. It dies with a whimper, kind of, but that's like the entire point of the Soul series. It's just very pessimistic, basically.
Right.
But I think what they've got here is basically migrate all the Dark Souls gameplay elements into a new franchise, which is great. That's what I want. Yeah, sure. And it's an open world, so that's intriguing. I really want to see how they're doing that. But if they're copying Dark Souls gameplay elements, I just hate platforming in Dark Souls games. Like in Sekiro, it was done right because you got the grappling hook attached to your arm, so it's a lot more fluid. But in Dark Souls doesn't even have like a dedicated jump button. You have to press on left joystick in order to jump.
Really?
Yeah. Or the right
one. That sounds really awkward.
It's jumping is very awkward in Dark Souls. That's why Blighttown is regarded as one of the hardest areas, not because of the enemies necessarily, but just because the level itself, it has platforming elements in a game that really isn't meant to be a platformer. Like, it's like if Doom Eternal's platform elements were done even worse.
Yeah.
That's what it would be.
But the fact that Sekiro did it kind of right, and that this is, coming after that, there's no reason that they can't take the best of the combat and the best of the platforming and put it all together, give it a dedicated jump button.
Yeah, but where are you going to
make,
where are you going to put the jump button? You don't have any space on the controller. If it's copying Dark Souls, then you need a roll button, right? And in Sekiro, mm-hmm. You didn't have a roll button. You had the jump button instead of it.
What you're going to have to do is you're going to have to press down on the joystick. And
got to press R trigger.
Yeah, this is one of those things where you're going to need extra buttons, and they're going to sell. I'm calling it now. They're going to sell with every copy of the game, digital or physical. You're going to get mailed an additional button. You just put it on anywhere on the controller, and it just works. That's what they're going to do. That'll be the jump button, or you can press space bar.
Oh, space bar. I think space bar rolls on the PC ports of Dark Souls. It's kind of weird. Yeah, I imagine playing Dark Souls on PC and with a keyboard. Like, it's not intuitive at all. Like, Dark Souls 3...
I did play it on PC, but with a controller.
Yeah, it's the way it's meant to be played. Like, Dark Souls 3, I'll give it credit. It actually has pretty decent keyboard controls. Like one time I was playing a boss and I think it was the Ashes of Arianza boss. Yeah. My controller just died. And I was like in the third phase of a boss and I can't just afford to die again here. Cause I'm almost so close to finishing him off.
And you can't pause it, right?
No, you can't. You can't. So I just
That's rough.
Quickly went with my keyboard and it was, I didn't kill him. I died instantly, of course, but
you got your ass kicked.
But for the couple of seconds I was playing with my keyboard, okay, this doesn't feel so bad. And also, Dark Souls speedrunners, they always use mouse and keyboard.
Really?
Yeah. Because there are like glitches and you know, precision time jumps that you just can't do with a controller. I'm watching this trailer again for In My Frame, and I've noticed a lot of things that... Because there are people who speculated that this trailer was faked, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard rumors that there was a Discord server full with Dark Souls modders who wanted to piss off Elden Ring fans by creating a fake trailer. Like, are you sure? Like, if this is a fake trailer, if this is just all modded Dark Souls 3, then these people need to be hired by any AAA game studio, like, right now. Like, I doubt this is fake. This is practically real. But the thing is, another thing that proves this is real, have you guys read Berserk?
I have not.
The manga? No.
Yep.
Because it started doing better than One Piece in terms of sales, so I got jealous and decided never to touch it.
How does it do better than sales than One Piece? I mean, it comes out like once in a decade, like a chapter.
I'm confusing it with something else, but I haven't read it.
So in one frame of the leaked trailer, there is a scene with supposedly the protagonist on a horse going by. And in the distance, you can see this large, large yellow tree, which in Norse mythology is practically the tree of life, I think. Mm-hmm. Something like that. And Celtic mythology as well. And actually in Berserk, there is a certain tree like that in one of the later chapters. Dark Souls actually borrows a lot from Berserk, like a lot. It's very heavily inspired by the art in Berserk. So if you're a Dark Souls fan, check out Berserk. It's really good. But yeah, like other things I've noticed in the trailer, like some of these environments remind me of Dark Souls 3. Like you got a big cave. Yeah, I like that. I like big caves.
I cannot lie.
You got a cathedral. Gotta have a cathedral. I think one of these, the boss that's in the end that actually turns the environment into this moonlit lake or something. I think this was the same boss that was leaked in some artwork. That's pretty cool. And yeah, you can see the same weapons. You got a scimitar. I think that's a scimitar. You got a mace. Oh, I didn't notice this. It seems that he's got like, what is it called? Like it's like a mace, but it's connected through a chain to a club or something. What is that called?
Nunchuck. A big ass nunchuck.
I thought that was a mace. No,
a mace is connected.
Or a morning star, is that what you think?
It's a morning star. Morning star. Is when it has a chain. I think that the mace is just on a stick.
Gotcha.
I've never seen that before in Dark Souls, actually. Oh, you got the short sword, of course. You got like the magic looks exactly the same as Dark Souls. You got the magic great sword, the magic spears. That's straight out of Dark Souls. Because Sekiro didn't have like any magic. You got the underground world. Like, yeah, I want to see how this plays out in an open world style. I really, really want to see how From Software does it.
Yeah, and we don't necessarily know if it's open world. It's this, the thing.
It is.
Have they said that?
Yep, I think. I'm pretty sure Elden Ring is open world. Like, that's what they said.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's interesting then.
I hear somebody frantically Googling as you guys are talking about it.
No, I'm just fact checking, and yes, I am correct.
Okay.
Well, you think that you're right just because you Googled it, but you know, Google is not always right. Sometimes Google's wrong. Sometimes Google makes a lot of really bad decisions. One of the things that Google thought they were right about was how massively successful the Google Stadia was going to be. Oh, man. Google really screwed the pooch there. Maybe, Alan John, if you looked it up on DuckDuckGo, you would have realized that actually Elden Ring is...
a match three puzzle
it's
game.
It's a platformer. A match three puzzle game, exactly. But speaking of Stadia... Steven actually on GBATemp.net, the independent gaming community sponsored by Raid Shadow Legends, he actually posted an article about how Google reportedly pays tens of millions for Stadia ports. And how's that going for them, buddy?
I don't like when you say that I posted the article as if like I did any actual work. This was just really reporting off of a report from Bloomberg that Jason Schreier
Steven works at Google, and that's his secret job that he won't tell Alan John and I about, is he actually works at Google, and he's a millionaire. He was.
Until I paid all these tens of millions.
Yeah, so now he's destitute. He made an even bigger gamble than I did when I invested all that money in GameStop. But it's paying off even less for him.
Yeah, so Jason Schreier of Bloomberg did a report on the failure of Google Stadia, and it gives kind of like a broad overview of the whole system. And so a lot of this stuff is stuff that's already known, but he talks about how, you know, typically Google will release things into a beta and then, you know, get feedback from users and refine it and all that, whereas Stadia was kind of launched almost like a traditional console where they came out of the gate swinging, trying to compete with Xbox and PlayStation. They were, you know, just trying to compete on the same level as soon as they released, which is very against how Google normally operates. And a lot of that, there's a guy named Phil Harrison who was in charge of the Stadia project. And it seems a lot of it came down to him, where he also worked at Sony during the PlayStation 3 launch, and he worked at Microsoft during the Xbox One launch. So even ignoring that those are the two biggest, most disastrous launches in recent history, he basically tried to launch Stadia the same way a traditional console was launched, which is a big part of the reason it didn't work, because when you're trying something new like streaming, you should have a more measured rollout because not everyone is going to jump on right away. But apparently, according to some insider anonymous sources that Bloomberg spoke to, he was so sure in Stadia's success and so sure that they needed to have big third-party games in order to compete, which he's not necessarily wrong about. If you look at something like, you know, the Wii U, that didn't succeed because it had no third-party games. Google paid out tens of millions of dollars each for some of these ports, like Red Dead Redemption 2 or... The Division 2 or Assassin's Creed Odyssey, I think, is the one that they got, which is just astronomical. Like, it's such an insane amount of money. You can't wrap your head around how much money that is, even if... So there's no specific figures given. Tens of millions is what's said in the article. So let's even assume it's 10 million per port, let alone tens, but like... So that means they spent $30 million on three games, Red Dead, Division, and Odyssey, games that people were already playing on other platforms and games that were already being... I mean, like, they, like, Google probably mostly paid for the development of those games. I mean, oh, I'm sure they had bigger budgets than 20 and 30 million, but that's just an insane amount of money to make a port. So recently when they made a decision to shut down the internal development studios, there was another figure mentioned from these anonymous sources saying that Google was behind their initial sales targets and their monthly active user target numbers by hundreds of thousands is how far behind they are on their sales. And that's presumably even after giving away Stadia controllers for free last year. So,
yeah. It sounds so crazy to think that they would pay, you know, multiple tens of millions per port. But then I'm thinking just how much money Google has. It's a stupid amount of money. I think that Google is worth like hundreds of billions of dollars, like 300 something billion dollars. I think that its parent company, Alphabet's, like close to $1 trillion at this point. So it's like, jeez. That's just, I mean, what's 10 million per port for us? well, for me, is not. I mean, it's sort of a drop in the bucket for Google. It probably doesn't even bother them that much when you have billions and billions of dollars.
Yeah, that's true, I guess. But I mean, if they were willing to put such ludicrous amounts of money behind the Stadia project, they wouldn't have shut down those internal studios so quickly. You know, like, so clearly they're not willing to dip into the billions and billions that they have sitting around for Stadia.
Yeah, it's just another failed project. But you know, every time Google has a failed project, I mean, there's casualties, not deaths, but like people bought this stuff, you know, and
yeah,
they're getting screwed. So yeah, no, it wasn't a financial success, but it's like Stadia did have some kind of, you know, hype behind it, or it could have had some hype. It could have gone well. People could have enjoyed it. And those who were willing to take the risk, and I mean, I'm not one of them because I always thought it was stupid, but people who were willing to take the risk and actually, you know, get the controller and get the stuff. And it's like, well, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you feel, well, even with Stadia, you had to pay the monthly subscription to stream your games, but you also had to buy each game individually.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, what happens to that license? It's not like, you know, when you download a game off PSN, at least you can re-download it, you know, when you get your PS5 or when, you know, something happens. That license is basically worthless because eventually Google's servers are going to go down. They're not going to offer that streaming anymore. I mean, obviously, when I say Google servers, I mean the ones set aside for Stadia. Oh, my God.
What? Do you guys remember a while ago, Google, like, wasn't working for a little bit?
No.
For like a couple hours, like, yeah. I don't think anybody was able to use Google, and that caused a lot of problems for a lot of people.
Yep.
That was last year, but like late last year, that was relative. Maybe that was this year. It was relatively recently where like people could not use Google and or Gmail or anything. It's like, wow.
Oh yeah. I do kind of remember that. Yeah. That was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
That one company having an issue. Oops, Susie, set back the whole. Everything.
So here's the thing, Google, I know you're listening to this podcast right now.
Mr. Google.
Okay, I know Sergey Brin listens to the Temcast. Sundar Pichai does. I don't know. Who's the main guy on Google?
I don't know.
Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg. Okay. I know Mark Wahlberg is listening to this podcast right now. Listen, instead of wasting your money on these AAA games nobody wants, I ask only for $5 million and I will port Alien John, the hit indie game from 2015. I will port that to Stadia. If you give me $10 million, I can start developing a sequel, which will be a Stadia exclusive.
And the sequel is just the completed version of Alien John.
No.
I'll actually just finish it.
The sequel of Alien John is going to be 3D. It's still going to be a platformer. It's going to be a Metroidvania type of 3D platformer with Dark Souls elements in it. And it's going to be made in Unity. So it's got to be good. And it will be a Stadia exclusive if you give me $10 million. Google, that's nothing to you. Nothing. Right? You've got nothing to lose here.
Drop in the bucket. Eric said it.
Google has nothing to lose, only everything to gain. Right?
Yeah.
So let's do it. Let's do it. Hit me up. You know where to find me. I'm at AlanJohn1337 on Twitter. Just hit me up. Oh, maybe I should have given them my Google Plus.
No, that's okay. They killed Google Plus. Yeah. That's dead and gone.
Let's hit a deal. Let's do this. Come on. Let's go. Let's go.
You do make a good point, though, which is like, how much better served would they have been to take $30 million and give it to, you know, give $2 million to 15 indie studios that could turn out something really good and say, you know, they'd given it to Supergiant and had Hades as a Stadia exclusive, or like, you know, what, any number of indie games that made it big last year. Like,
but the question is, would Hades have made it big if it was a Stadia exclusive? Would anybody have played it, or would it have just faded into like obscurity? I think part of the reason why it did so good was because of the fact that it was cheap. It's cheaper than a AAA game, right?
Yeah, it's not full price.
And Yeah, and it's very available. It's not always just if you put out a quality game, it'll do well. You got to market that. So if it was a Stadia exclusive, it would not have been as successful, or at least I don't think it would be as successful.
It wouldn't have been as successful, but it still would have had eyes on it because of Supergiant's pedigree, and I think it would be not drowned out in a sea of other games. And obviously Hades, you know, rose above it, but a lot of games can't. And if, you know, Stadia is a small pond right now, so it's easier to be a big fish there.
This is what I'm saying. Imagine if Jason Schreier makes an article, he's got the scoop, he's like, okay, so Google spent $10 million on this unknown game called Alien John. We don't know what this game is, but Google paid top price for its exclusivity. And then suddenly people are like, oh dude, what's Alien John? I never heard of Alien John before. And then Google Stadia, like, what the fuck is Google Stadia? Right? That's how they gain momentum. Listen, hit me up. Dude, I'm down for it.
A rising tide raises all ships.
This is how we win. Google, listen. Let's do it right now, please. I need some money.
And what's cool about that is if you were to get Alien John like on Stadia, you could use, I mean, you could make the game really powerful because you would be able to just stream it to, you know, your PC or whatever. Like, even if your PC isn't good enough to handle something as big as Alien John, because it would just be going from Google's, you know, giant super mega computers. It's like you would almost have to make it a Stadia exclusive, because it's not like Alien John 2 would. I mean, it's going to be so good. The Switch couldn't even handle it, right? Like, the Switch is kind of weak. Don't you wish that there was like an advanced version of the Switch that could you know, handle Alien John 2?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that. It's a complete coincidence, I bet. There have actually been new rumors from Bloomberg, once again, who's got the scoop, not Jason Schreier though, that supposedly, a Switch Pro is in development. What? Yeah. I'm just as surprised as you guys are. I can't believe this. Have we ever talked about this?
No. This is unthinkable that there would be a Switch Pro. I don't know. It's just brand new to me. So I'm really excited, and I think that it's legit, and there's no reason for me to doubt the authenticity of this Bloomberg article. Because anything that comes from Bloomberg, whether it's the person or the giant media company, I take as truth.
Yeah, Michael Bloomberg is a guy who I trust. I just look at his face and, you know, that's a trustworthy guy right there. But This scoop is actually from, I hope I pronounced this right, Takashi Mochizuki, who previously actually predicted the Switch Lite. You know, to predict a Switch Lite, that's, you gotta have some insider knowledge for that. Like, nobody expected a smaller Switch that's only portable. Who would have thought of that? But yeah, and he's predicting that a Switch Pro is on the horizon sometime soon. And supposedly, Samsung is going to be making the screens for the next Switch, which dispels the rumor that the next Switch is going to be like some kind of TV-only console, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to have a 7-inch 720p OLED panel.
Ooh.
Which is very interesting, since I don't think Samsung even makes 720p screens for phones even. Like, that is such an outdated...
No, I agree. I don't think they do it either. I'm actually going to see if it's possible to change the resolution on my phone to 720p.
It probably is. It was like 720p was a good phone resolution 10 years ago. Yeah, 10 years ago when the Galaxy Nexus came out, that was one of the first ones with a 720p screen. I got it, actually, and I'm like, ah, oh, dude, I got the highest PPI, pixels per inch, dude. It was fabulous, but now it's, for 7 inches, that's a lot of real estate. You're definitely going to see the pixels on that one. Sorry, guys. Even 1080p would have been better.
I mean, the current Switch screen is 720 and it's 6.2 inches. Is 7 that much bigger that you would notice all the pixels, you think?
I mean, do you notice them?
I mean, not in a way that's like unbearable. I mean, you can kind of tell that it's a little, you know, chunky, but it's not bad.
The 3DS, it has like a 240p screen, but I instantly forget about it when I'm playing it.
Yeah, that's true.
I honestly do. Yeah. Once you get in the game, resolution doesn't really that matter when you're playing on a handheld console. But
yeah,
the thing is, the fact that this is a 720p screen, it fits perfectly into the previous information that was speculated, that this is going to be running the same SoC as the current Switch, the Mariko one, and it's just going to have an additional chip for a DLSS.
Yeah.
Because then you have like 720p as the target resolution on handheld mode, right?
Yeah.
So it's probably going to be the same if they use the same SoC. No reason to make it 1080p. You're going to kill the battery and... Well, but basically, yeah, if they're using the same SoC, it makes sense to use a 720p screen. However, there is one thing I'd like to discuss about, not just with you guys, but possibly other GBA Temp members listening to this podcast. If any of you own a Vita that has an OLED screen as well, I'm really interested if the Vita is getting like burn-in.
I have an OLED Vita, and well, that said, I don't play it very often. I got it from a fellow GBA Temp user for $50. Does not have any burn-in. Yeah, it was a steal. It also came with a giant memory card. So shout out to a person whose name I won't say, but thank you for the Vita. Anyway, I just on my Galaxy S10 Plus, which is 6.4 inches, I just switched the resolution from, what did I switch it to? I switched it to, it's called HD Plus, which is 1520 by 720. I switched that from 3040 by 1440, and it is significantly worse. And that's on a 6.4 inch screen. Wow. It hurts. So, yeah, I mean, but that's just because I saw the comparison right in my face. Like, I saw it before and after. I don't know if it would be as drastic if, you know. Also, the screen that I'm using is meant, obviously, for not to be 720. So, I don't know. Maybe they could make it look good on the Switch Pro, which I totally think is going to exist. And I'm not being sarcastic.
Yeah, because one of the biggest issues with OLED screens, this is why you don't see OLED gaming monitors that much. Like, they're very, very rare. Because in gaming, you have HUDs and stuff like that. The GUI stays on the screen for a long time. So you get burn-in easily on that. But if what you're saying is true, because I've heard like this notion from a lot of long-term PlayStation Vita users, that there's not that much burn-in.
Yeah.
Really. And 10 years have passed since the Vita's release. So that's actually good to know. Hopefully, OLED technology improved even further, and Samsung is going to offer like something good, something that's durable, something that can handle, like, I don't know, the Breath of the Wild HUD, you know?
Or Alien John. But doesn't... burn-in usually happen when it's like when you're staying on the same image for an extended period of time?
Well, so yeah, I mean, yeah, but you know, the HUD elements, they don't change. Like, if you have a health bar, it's going to burn in just the health bar, not the entire image.
You're right. But yeah, so turn your system off every once in a while. You're right. There's ways to avoid it.
Says the guy who says he overleveled so much in Bloodborne that it wasn't even hard anymore. He's like, why don't you go stop playing games so much? Losers. Why don't you get a real hobby and go fucking platinum the entire Kingdom Hearts series like I did?
and more. Yeah, I was going to say, like, I met this guy and he told, you know, he's like, oh, yeah, I got a PlayStation. I was like, oh, yeah, me too. And then I gave him my, you know, profile info so that he could be my friend. And he looked and he's like, oh my God, you have so many platinums. And he's like, oh my God, you platinum Bloodborne? How did you do that? That's so insane. I was like, Bloodborne wasn't even, did you also see that I platinum Crash Team Racing? Cause that's the hard one compared to Bloodborne. It's like Crash Team, you mean Crash Band? I'm like, yeah, Yeah. It took me significantly longer. I also almost broke my finger doing that, not to be confused with the time that my dog actually broke my finger and it's still healing. I hate that dog. All right. So anyway, yeah. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah. Screen burning. Oh, yeah. You guys should play Crash Team Racing. It's pretty fun.
I'm kind of disappointed that the new Switch isn't going to be like more powerful. It might be just a little bit because, you know, things like the Pokemon Legends trailer, which debuted like a week ago, that showed that's basically pushing the Switch to its limits. You got Pokemon animations looking like PowerPoint presentations if they're like 2 feet away from you. Yeah, I'd love to see that game like on a proper system. Maybe once the Yuzu emulator gets more optimized, you could probably play the game the way it was meant to be played. Who knows?
Well, I mean, the Bloomberg source also says that the Switch will be outputting at 4K in docked mode. So presumably it would have to be kind of stronger to be able to do that, right?
No? It's probably the DLSS thing. It's probably upscaled. Very good upscaling, though. But it's just that. It's just upscaling. It's not going to necessarily improve frame rates.
Yeah. No, well, hopefully there is something like that then.
Computing power.
Yeah.
So to the listeners, I know that this is a relatively short episode. If you're at all disappointed by the length, it's due to the lack of gaming news that we've had this week. But if you're worried about the lack of gaming news this week, don't worry, because the second we stop recording, something major is going to happen. And we won't be able to talk about it until next week. So look forward to this huge, epic scaled event that's about to occur in about, you know, a couple minutes whenever we stop this podcast. And I'm just really excited to find out how that goes. What about you guys?
We should make predictions on what the huge news is going to be.
No, I'm going to have to cut off you guys. Some big news just happened. Mario was announced for Smash Brothers.
Are you serious?
Yep. Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh, wait, oh no. God. Not just Mario, they're also adding Green Mario.
Oh my god, fan favorite Green Mario?
Yep.
Wow.
Ah, dude, that's great. From Super Mario 2, I'm assuming.
Hopefully.
Yeah, the American version. Well, okay, what do I predict? I predict that Stadia 2 is, no, PC 2 is going to come out. We're finally going to get PC 2, and they're going to call it the PlayStation 6.
Nice.
And
nobody's going to be able to buy it. Nobody.
Nobody. Yeah, I'm excited for the PlayStation 6 as made by PC.
Steven, what about you?
Stadia 2 is going to be mine. Eric took it.
You know, I'm the one who's going to be editing this podcast. Like, once it happens, I can easily record myself predicting, you
whatever
know.
Whatever happened.
Pokemon 3. It's real.
They're making Pokemon 3 about time.
They're going to announce remakes of the Pokemon 4th gen remakes because people were so upset about the first ones they announced. So Pokemon Shining Pearl and Brilliant Diamond are going to come out, but then like maybe 2 months after that there's going to be another remake to make up for it.
I'm thinking that there's going to be a Switch game called Pokemon Black and Pokemon White 3.
Ooh.
So there could be that.
And it's going to be a puzzle game.
Yeah. It's going to be just like Elden Ring.
Yeah, match 3 puzzle game.
All right. So that was our time filler. Hope you guys like the podcast. We like you. Be sure to love us as much as we love you. Aww. Look at you guys. Oh, you're blushing. You guys are blushing. I'm blushing too. Don't stop. No, you stop.
That was so threatening.
No, you stop.
Make sure you love us as much as we love you.
Timcast loves you.
Why don't you love me?
And I swear to God, if you're not loving us, I'll find out.
Bye, everybody. Bye, Steven's friends.